And I do this every night. And children are not dismissed with Abraham.
All right, I just want to thank my brother for the introduction. I think these batteries might be dead, I don't know. Is it on?
Yeah.
It's on, all right. Thank my brother for the introduction. I just want to say, when I was in high school, I never thought I would be preaching revival for my brother's church. I didn't know where he was going to be when he was 30 years old, you know. But praise the Lord, I could be laborers together with him. And we're going to be out there doing the work of the Lord. And I'm just so glad for this church here in Binghamton. And I just want to say in front of everybody here that I'm proud of my brother and I'm proud of what he's doing. And I know the Lord's going to use him to do some great things. For the Lord. I just remember praying for him. And I remember God getting a hold of his heart. And I always told people, if my brother gets a hold of this thing, he's going to do it to the best he can, because he did that with everything he did. And I just praise the Lord for what he's doing here. And every time he gets up here, he preaches his heart and he gives everything he has. And I just thank the Lord that that God changes lives. And you know what he does? He does it through revival. Yeah. Through revival, through speaking to our hearts. Through the preaching of the Word of God. And I want to just take some time tonight to turn over to the book of Hosea chapter number 10. I just want to read one verse there. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. It says here, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening on a Tuesday night here in Binghamton. I thank you for the revival that's going on here at this church, God. And I pray that you'd use it today to excite us to serve you and to do more for you, to take that next step in our Christian lives, to be who you want us to be, Lord. I pray you would just bless this time right now, Lord, and just fill me with your Spirit, God. Just help me to speak what you'd have me to speak tonight, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. I have entitled the message here tonight, "Revival Meeting Will Soon Be Over." Just meaning that this series of nights of speaking, this time of revival for Tri-City Baptist Church, has a start and has a finish. And soon, it's going to be over. Soon, there will be an ending to it. So far, I was here last night and we had a great time. There was some great special music, there was some good preaching, and we had a good time afterwards, having fun together, and you know what, it was a good time. It takes a lot of hard work to put together a revival, to put together some meetings, besides the fact they're doing Vacation Bible School right afterwards. It takes a lot of work to do this. It takes a lot of people getting together to put something like this together. And it's a great thing to see people involved in doing the work of God and being able to do that together, work together, and people taking extra time out of their schedules to get together to see something done for the Lord. But, you know, it's too bad that it will soon be over. It's too bad that it will soon be over and that we won't be able to meet here at night and we won't be able to have these meetings together and we won't be able to get someone preaching to us every single night and letting us know that what's going on and being convicted in our hearts. It's too bad that it's got to end. It's too bad that it's got to be over at some point. You know, as Matt mentioned, I've been youth pastor at Bucket Road now for 10 years. And over these past 10 years, I've been able to see God do some great things. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened. I just knew the Lord did it. And he did some great things. And right now we have 9 young men in Bible college going there to become preachers and missionaries. I have a few of them that have been working with you guys right now. And I thank the Lord for them. I thank God that he called these men into the ministry. We have 2 more going this year. And God's been working and doing some great things in these people's lives. You know, they've been a big help to me in the youth group. Some of these guys that were called to preach when they were younger teenagers, through the year, God's worked in their lives, and they've been able to help some of the younger guys coming into the class to get excited about the things of God and to be faithful in their devotions and faithful in the youth group serving God and doing these things. You know, but the fact is that generation is coming to an end. I got 9 in Bible college, 2 more going, and I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple years. Sometimes I look at my teens, I'm like, I don't see a lot of hope there, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm looking at the ladies, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen here. But, of course, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I looked at my youth group the same way. Because it's not me that's doing this. It's the Lord that did it. And the Lord worked in their hearts. And that generation will come to an end at some point. And there's going to be there's a new generation of teenagers that comes in my youth group. And it's starting all over again. That time has ended. And a new time has come about. And it's time to start over. It's time to sow that seed again. It's time to start the harvest all over again. The time's come to an end. You know, there was a day in American history when there was revivals taking place all around America, and great things were happening, and many people were being saved. People by the thousands were being saved. There was great things happening. In fact, my brother told me about here in Binghamton, there used to be some great revivals that were taking place here. In the 1800s, a man named Billy Sunday came to Binghamton and preached some revivals, and thousands of people were saved during the revivals. And as he preached, the bars were being shut down. They were closing right down because of the great revivals that were taking place and the great things that were happening. The revival meetings that they were having were pretty awesome. They were pretty amazing. You know, the revival meetings that some of the meetings we've had at our church have been pretty great, pretty good. The revival meeting that you're having here, it looks like it's going pretty well and pretty great. And things are going good. But if we might compare some of our meetings to the meetings of Billy Sunday, you know, they would kind of pale in comparison. You know, some great things happen there, and some great things are happening here, but times change, or things are differently, and times come to an end. And what's going to take place next? Just a few years ago, they had some revival meetings here in Binghamton, where evangelist Franklin Graham came here and preached some revival meetings. But these revival meetings were meetings where they had not just the Baptists come to the meeting, but you know, all the Christians, whether they were Catholics or Baptists or Methodists or whatever they were Christian, they came to the meeting and they had a revival meeting like that. And during these revival meetings, he got up and preached, and some people would say great things happen. Most of us probably wouldn't say that, but they preached and there were some revivals that took place here just a few years ago. But if you were to compare those to revivals of Billy Sunday, there's a big difference. There's a big difference of what took place. You know, when Billy Sunday preached, bars were shutting down. All right, but when Franklin Graham was preaching that same week, they were raising the gay rights flag in the city of Binghamton. And so there's a big difference about the revival meetings that were taking place at these different times. You know, our world is in desperate need of revival. We're in desperate need of revival. We're in desperate need of people changing, having their lives changed. There's a missionary that came to our church a few years ago, and he said, you know, there's a lot of churches out there that he called them get down and get funky churches. All right, they weren't preaching the word of God. It was all about the music and the lights and all these things. Brother Adam was speaking about that last night, saying, what will they do if the power went out? I don't know. They wouldn't have anything to do. And you know, that made me think, because I usually. I usually preach with an iPad. My wife got me one for Christmas, and I've been preaching through that, using that. Well, this Sunday in church, I was sitting there, and my dad, the pastor, was preaching, and I opened up the iPad. All of a sudden, some music started playing. All right, now it was Christian music and everything. It was piano music. It was very beautiful. All right, but it was during the pastor's preaching. My dad, my boss, you know, all these things during his preaching, and so I'm scrambling trying to get that thing shut down, and I pressed the buzzer buttons, and it finally stopped, and I'm like, all right. So I scroll over, I look at the volume, and there's the volume speaker, and there's a slash through it. So that means mute, right? And so I'm like, all right, the mute's on. I'm safe. I'll be okay. All right, about 30 seconds later, it starts playing again. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, the volume is off. What do I do? I mean, I don't know what's going on. So I'm trying all this stuff. And finally, the pastor's like, someone needs to shut that music off. And so, you know, I'm just trying to look casual, trying to do it, you know, and not look around. I don't want anybody knowing it's me, of course. And it just keeps going. And so finally he looks up to the sound room. He's like, I think something's going wrong with this piano over here. We have all those electric pianos. This piano's playing. You get that shut down. And so I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just letting him think it's that, you know. And so I'm trying. So finally I'm holding down the power button, just holding it down for a long time. Finally it shuts down. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, phew. And I shut it down. My wife grabs it from me, like chucks it halfway down the pew. I'm like, I'm trying to hide this. You're chucking, everybody's gonna know it's us. What's going on here? And so he didn't catch me. He didn't see it. So I'm safe so far. But man, those electronics are possessed. You know, something's wrong with them. And so I decided to go without that tonight, and just use some old-fashioned paper and preach from that. And let the Lord use that. Amen. So, you know, we don't need all these gadgets in church. We just need the Word of God. You know, if the power went out, we'd be okay. If we had the Bible, you know, God doesn't change, and we don't need to change. We have the Word of God. But we're coming to a place in our country, in our society, where everybody says, you know, if we're going to reach people, we need new and different things. We don't need anything new. We need the Word of God. We need revival. We need good old-fashioned revival, and that's what we need. We don't need to change the revivals. We need to say, have the same things.
Yeah.
And so why are these kind of things taking place? Because revival meeting's over. For a lot of people, revival meeting's over. They're not having revival in their hearts anymore.
Right.
They're not making the changes they need to make. They're going to church and they're saying, all right, preach to me, but don't, I'm not going to change nothing. I want to leave the same. I want to do the same old things I've been doing. I don't want any changes in my life. Just preach the Word of God and I'll go the way I came in and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's what people want. That's what people want. But that's not what revival is. Psalm chapter 85 verse 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The Bible speaks about revival. You know, revival is not a meeting. It's not a set of meetings. Revival is not a preacher. Revival is not an evangelist. Revival is not does not have a start date and an end date. Revival is not a youth group. Revival is not a pastor. Revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. Revival starts on the inside. Revival is in our hearts. You know, I'm not trying to be critical of what's taking place here or of what took place at different meetings or what's taking place in my youth group or anything like that. I'm just saying I want more. I want to see God work in our lives. I want to see greater things taking place. I want to experience what they experienced in the days of old. Well, what Billy Sunday experienced when he preached revival. I want to experience things. My dad tells me about meetings where he had, where when he was a bus leader there in Michigan, They had days where they had 700 kids coming on the bus to their church, and great things happening and great things taking place. I read stories of famous preachers and evangelists who did some great things for God. Many of you have heard of Jonathan Edwards. Preached a sermon. He got up and he read his entire sermon. He didn't have emotion in it. He just sat there and he read the message from the Word of God, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And as he read this message, they say that people gripped upon the pews and felt like they were being dragged into hell that very moment. And they were just so humbled by the sin in their lives and how wicked they were and how holy God was. And they wanted a change in their lives. And I read stories about these great revivals that took place. And I want that. I want to be a part of that, and I want God to do that in my life, and I want to see God do that in our churches, the independent fundamental Baptist Bible believing churches. I want to see God do that with us. I read a story about a famous preacher, Charles Finney, who came back from a revival meeting, and he was very solemn in his heart, and he went to this factory to see the machinery there and things, and he walked into this factory, and they said as he walked in, people saw him and they recognized him, and one woman recognized who he was, and she turned to another employee there, and she made a rude comment about him, and she began to laugh at him and things like that, and he heard them, and so he just looked over at him, and she looked back at him, and she could see the sorrow in his eyes. She could see that something was going on in his life, and she turned back to work and tried to just get back to work, and as she began to work, she was doing some kind of sewing or whatever, and the needle broke, and she was trying to fix it, and she couldn't get it. She couldn't get that thread back on the needle, and she looked out the window trying to get her composure, and she couldn't get her composure, and she broke down and just started crying. And he walked over to her, and he had compassion upon her, and he started telling her about the Word of God, and he saw that God was convicting her heart of sin, and he started speaking to her, and she came to know Christ, and while she was doing that, others saw what was going on, and one by one, people started coming over and started listening to what was going on. The boss of the whole plant got wind of it. And he came down, he shut the whole plant down. He said, you know, we're going to have a prayer meeting here. Shut the plant down, shut all the work down. And all the employees came, and they had a revival meeting right there. And by the time it was over, 3,000 employees, including the boss, came to know Christ and accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. Why? Because someone got convicted about their sin. Why? Because when she made this comment to Finney, he didn't get upset. He felt bad for her. He felt bad for what was going on. And the Lord used that. And she became sorrowful about the sin in her life. And she felt horrible about it. And that feeling came upon the whole place. And people started getting their sins right with God. And started feeling bad about the sins that they had committed in her life. And it sparked a mass revival there in that factory that day. And a great thing took place. You know, hey, this is a good church. There's some good people here. But we still have sin in our life. We still react when we're put down. We still have pride in our life. We still put down others at times. We still tell little lies. We still disrespect people. We still slack off at work and lust and steal and cheat and have hatred in our hearts and act rude to others and listen to wrong music and stuff. We might be good people, but we still have sin in our life. We might be good according to the world's standards. We might be good according to other churches' standards, but we still have sin in our life. We still need to make some changes. Revival meeting's not over. After the meeting tomorrow night, revival meeting still will not be over. In fact, some of us will never experience revival. For some of us, revival will never even take place in our hearts. Why? Because revival is not a meeting. It's not a meeting that you go to. But it's personal. It's a personal moving of God in your heart. We will never experience revival until we become sorrowful over the little sins that we commit each and every day. each and every day. We can't let sin just become normal in our lives. We need to have the kind of fire that the Billy Sunday have. We need to have the excitement some of these other men have. Billy Sunday said this. He said, I'm against sin. I'll kick it as long as I have a foot. I'll punch it as long as I have a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I have a tooth. And when I'm fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and it goes home to perdition. We need to have a hatred for sin. We need to hate these sins that are here upon this earth. We want to be different. We need to understand there's a holy God out there, and every sin is evil to Him. Every sin is wrong. And we need to have a conviction in our hearts that we're not going to sin, that we're going to live right, and that we're going to follow God. And when we sin, just don't say it's just a normal thing that everybody does. We need to get it right and feel convicted about it. Break down. We need to have a strong hatred for sin. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We need to have a hatred for sin. If we're going to have revival upon our lives, we need to have a hatred for the sins that we are committing every single day. We need to have a hatred for these things. As long as we enjoy sin and welcome it into our lives, we will not experience revival. It won't come to us. We must be willing to make self-sacrifices in our lives in order to change and see revival in our lives. When there's an honest breaking down and pouring out of the heart in confession of sin, then the floodgates will open and salvation will flow everywhere. We need to have this revival in our lives. You know, we can have revival. This church can have revival. Every one of us can have revival. I've seen revival in the hearts of teenagers. And that might be hard to believe. You know, a lot of teenagers out there just, we don't want anything to do with them. But God speaks to their hearts.
Right.
I remember about 5 or 6 years back, we have a family that come to church. They would just come on and off. And these boys, I could never get them to come to the youth group. Every once in a while they would come, but wasn't very often. And I started talking to them, and they started getting a little bit of interest. And so I started talking to them. I said, hey, you know, we're going up to Heartland Baptist Bible College. We're taking a youth trip there. And I'd like you to go and check it out. And he thought about it. And he said, yeah, I think I'll go. Well, a few weeks later, he decided, oh, I'm not going to go. I have this thing at the hospital, the St. Joe's Hospital, that, you know, I can go there and I can shadow some doctors for a few weeks. And to learn about that and get my foot in the door because I want to be a doctor, you know. And this was a kid who sat around and read medical books, all right. I don't know who does that, but this kid did that, all right. And so he said he was going to do that. And I just felt real burdened about him. I just prayed for him. Me and Melissa prayed for him. And I remember the night before we were going to take the trip, I said, I'm going to ask him one last time. So after the services were over, it was prayer night, so we're dividing up for prayer. And I look back, and of course he's sneaking out the back door. So I ran out there and I talked to him. I said, I want you to think about going to Harlan trip with us. I was like, I know that you don't plan on going to school there, but it's a lot more than that. There's going to be some preaching there. I just want you to give God the opportunity to speak to your heart and just come and check it out. And he's like, well, all right, just let me think about it and I'll call you later on. So we went home, and about an hour later he called and said, I'm going to go on a trip. And so we went on the trip, and we went there and we went through all the meetings, a series of meetings, and it was the last meeting. The invitation was running, and it was about to come to an end. And then Brother Cope said, "Let's go one more time, one more round, you know." And then we went one more round, and as we were standing there, I was praying for this guy. I'm like, "Lord, pray that you speak to his heart." And all of a sudden, he brushed past me, went up to the altar. I ran up there, and I got down, and I said, "Why are you up here?" And he's like, he was crying. He just said, it's just so overwhelming. It's just so amazing here. I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know what was going on. He's like, this is such an amazing place. He's like, I want to come here. He wasn't even coming to church yet regularly. I want to come here. I want to be here. And when he said that to me, I couldn't believe it. And I started weeping with him. And praise the Lord, God broke him down. And he showed him something. God showed him who he was. And you know what? When we get sick of the sin in our lives, and we break that down and say, I want to get the sin out. I want to see how holy God is and how great He is. God is going to show us church like we've never seen it before. And we're going to get to where we can't wait to be in the services. We can't wait to hear the preaching of the Word of God. We can't wait to read our Bibles. And God works some great things. And He did this in the life of a teenager. Later on this year, this boy, he was selling a bunch of candy, getting ready to go on one of our youth trips. And he sold so much candy, he won a bicycle through it. And so he got this bicycle, and he brought the bike home. And he told his mom, he's like, I want to sell the bike. And she's like, okay. So she brought it to work, and she sold the bike for 50 bucks. He got the 50 bucks. He went down to the local Christian bookstore and he bought himself a brand new Bible. Now, praise the Lord. And he sold that bike to buy a Bible. A teenager did this. I couldn't believe it. And he did that. Why? Because God got a hold of his heart. He went to the meeting that he'd been saving all the money for. And he was giving a testimony afterwards. I looked at my wife and I'm like, I'm listening to him. And I listen to the wisdom coming from this kid and I just can't believe it. And I'm writing on the paper. I'm writing, he's going to be a preacher. And before I could finish spelling preacher, he said, I think the Lord's called me to preach.
Amen.
You know, man, I never saw it coming. I didn't even think this kid would ever come to church. I was just hoping to get him to come to Sunday school once in a while. And God spoke to his heart and he showed him about the sin in his life and God made a change in him.
Yeah.
God used him to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
Another young man. It was Christmas Eve, his house burnt down. And they moved next to a family in our church. They moved next door to him and became friends with him. And they started coming to church with him every once in a while. Well, it came down to go to a youth conference, and I was talking about it. I said, anybody can go. If you got the money, you can go. Normally, we don't do that because, you know, you never know who's going to go. But we just said, you know, me and my wife said, we're just going to pray about it. We want, you know, whoever the Lord wants to go, we want them to go. You know, the trip was 200 bucks. It wasn't cheap, so, you know, most kids won't go if they can't afford it or whatever. And I announced that the next week, this kid came up and he handed me 200 bucks. And this kid never talked. He never even talked. I could barely get a word out of him, and I didn't know much about him, but I was like, wow, well, he gave him money. He's going on the trip, you know. And he came on the trip, and by this time, he wasn't living at home. He had a real bad family life. His mom was addicted to drugs. His parents were divorced. He was really, really down on himself because his family just told him that he was worthless, told him all kinds of stuff about himself. And so he was real down on himself and just a kid where you'd look at it, you didn't see much hope in him, you know. And I couldn't even believe he was going on this trip. He came on a trip and by the end of the trip he gave a testimony and he said, you know, I'm so glad I came here and, you know, I want to start doing some things for the Lord and everything like that, which, you know, all the teens say that after a great meeting. Well, he came back and he put those things into practice. He came to church every week. He began reading his Bible. He began going on visitation. He started doing these things and God worked in his life and about a year later, he got up and he was giving a testimony, and his testimony was not a testimony, it was a sermon. He's preaching a sermon to everybody, and he's just saying, you know what, the reason I was able to serve God and keep going is because I kept myself accountable, and I continued in the Word of God, and I kept myself accountable, and I got to do these things. And so you guys need to do that too, and he was preaching to everybody, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, man, this guy's preaching to everybody, and the Lord didn't call him to preach there or anything, but he decided to go to college, to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College. And so he went to college, and while he was at college, Lord called him to be a missionary. But I look at a kid like that, who his family, he has no support system. He hasn't got a family. You know, just a kid who came on the bus and things like that. And the Lord spoke to his heart.
Good.
Lord gave him a desire to serve God. Lord gave him a desire to not to sin, not to live right. In fact, not too long ago, we were there at Heartland Baptist Bible College, and we were about to go and watch a basketball game. And I told this kid, you should come watch the game. And he's like, man, I can't go. He's like, we got curfew, and it's past that. And, you know, they're not giving any extensions. I'm like, dude, Syracuse is in the final, one of the final games. I'm like, just go. It's a few hours. It's no big deal. You know, great youth pastor, right? I'm like, just go. And he looks at me. He's like, man, I haven't got any hours, and I want to stay in that role, so I'm not going to go. I'm like, wow. You know? I mean, this kid, he didn't want to do anything wrong. Nothing. He loves basketball, but he wouldn't go watch the game because he didn't want to do something wrong. He didn't want to break a rule, and he would have felt bad. He would have felt horrible if he did that in his life. And God spoke to his heart, and he got involved in church, and even though he didn't have a support system behind him, even though his family wasn't behind him, God was on his side. And you know what? We don't need anybody else. We just need the Lord. We need the Word of God. He's given us this love letter here. We just need to spend time in the book and spend time with God and get the sins out of our life and serve Him. And God will use the Word of God in your life if you allow Him to. I remember the very first youth conference we ever went to. Right after I got married, my wife told me about this youth conference. And I'm like, we got to go. You know, we packed up all the kids, went to Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, I try to say it right, Louisville. They say it weird there. My wife can say it. She always makes funny when I try to say it. But we packed up. We went down there, and we went to this meeting, and it was on a Tuesday night. And that meeting, the preacher got up and preached a message, and at the end of that message, there's a room packed full of 1,500 teenagers. And at the invitation, teens just kept going to the altar. The altars were packed. And when it started dying down, some more people came up. And it started dying down again, more people came up. And my youth group got up and they were praying. And when they were finished praying, they'd come back and they'd grab their brother or their sister and they'd go pray with them. And when we're done with that, they'd go back and they'd grab their friend and they'd pray with them. And then me and my wife, we prayed with them. And for 45 minutes, it kept going on. And they just kept... And teens just kept coming forward and praying, and they were crying, and they were convicted about the sin in their lives. And true revival was taking place. Why? Because they felt bad about the sin in their life, and they say, "I want to go home, and I want to treat my parents right. I want to be good to my brothers and my sisters." That's real weird for a teenager to say. "I want to do right. I want to live right." And God got a hold of their hearts, and it was amazing to see that take place in the lives of teenagers. And if that can happen in the lives of teenagers, that can happen in your life and my life, and God can get a hold of your heart if you allow Him to. If you allow Him to come in, if you say, "God, there's sin in my life, help me take care of that sin." Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." You might be sitting there today and say, "I don't know if there's sin in my life." Well, I'm sure there is. Ask God. Say, "God, search me. Search my life, God. Show me the sin in my life. I don't know if I'm just so callous to this world that I don't see my sin," but all of us have sin in our life, and say, "God, search my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me, God, and lead me into the way everlasting. I want to do right, I want to live for you, I want to have revival in my life." What sin is in your heart tonight? What sin is in your life? Is it ingratitude? Is it the lack of love for God? Is it neglecting Bible reading? Is it unbelief? Is it neglect of prayer? Is it a poor spiritual attitude? Is it a lack of love for souls? Is it a lack of concern for fellow brethren? Is it worldly mindedness? Is it pride? Is it envy? Is it a critical spirit? Is it slander? Is it a lack of seriousness? Is it lying? Is it cheating? Is it robbing God? Is it a bad temper? Is it hindering others from being used of God? What sin is in your life? Hey, the list goes on. The list goes on and on and on. We are sinners, and we need to feel bad about the sinner lives. Otherwise, there's not going to come revival. Revival won't come. A revival is near when we become broken, hearted over the sin in our lives, and begin to confess it to the Lord, and begin to confess it to one another. Revival should be a normal thing. Shouldn't be something we just do once a year. It shouldn't be just a meeting that we go to. It's not a memory of the past. It's not a dream of what could be. Revival is a normal thing that should occur often in our lives. Let me ask you tonight, is it abnormal for you to call the doctor when you're sick? Hey, sin is a sickness.
Yeah, right.
It's a cancer. It's a disease that's going to take you far away from God. When there's sin in our lives, we need to call upon God.
Yeah.
We need to call the great physician. We need to get it right. What about when a loved one is dying of cancer? Do we just say, forget it? Or do we say, give them all the medical attention we can? We'll pay all the money we can to get them so they can live a little bit longer.
Right.
We'll pay as much money as it takes so that we can hug our loved one a little longer and kiss them a little longer and be with them a little bit longer and have a little bit more time with them. And you know what? Sin is always going to be here. It's always going to be around. But I want to have a little more time with God. I want to be a little bit closer to God. I want to draw a little bit nearer to Him. And so I need to pray every day and get that sin out of my life. I need to take the medication that God has given me. I need to spend time in the Word of God. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to get rid of the sin in my life. Sin is a cancer, and it's destroying us from the inside out. What are we doing to fight it? What are we doing to get rid of it?
Right.
We need to have a change. Sin is a cancer, but revival is the treatment.
Yes.
Are we taking the treatment? Are we reviving our hearts? Are we getting that sin out? Putting the things of God in? Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
We need to renew our mind. We need to be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Remember who God is. Is revival a foreign thing to you? If so, be sure that it's destroying you from the inside out. When's the last time we had revival in our lives? Some people say that revival is temporary. It's a special thing that God brings about every once in a while. I believe they're wrong. Revival might be temporary, but so is taking a shower. You got to do it, or you're going to smell later on. We live in the world. It's full of sin, and we're going to get dirty. Got to take a shower. We got to get revival. Revival needs to take place often. Often needs to take place in our mind and in our hearts. Revival starts in the hearts of each and every believer. When each of us can get revival, we can see great things happen for the Lord or for God. It's not God's responsibility to bring revival. It's yours and it's mine. It's our responsibility. He's always ready to bring it. But it starts with us. It starts with you and me. God's will is that we have revival in our lives. It's His will that we get things right. It's His will that we make the necessary changes and not go back to the way we were. Let me ask you tonight, have you had revival in your hearts? Do you understand what revival is? Are you sick of this world? Are you sick of the things of this world? Are you ready to get that sin out and give God the place in your heart that He deserves? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a time of invitation. Lord, I just thank You so much that we could be in Your house this evening, Lord. I thank You so much that we could... take a look at the Word of God and look at a few verses and see what your Word has to say about revival and about sin, Lord. And I pray that this evening, here in your house tonight, God, that we would become broken about the sin in our lives and want to give you place, give you the place that you deserve. Do more for you, God. Pray that you'd use this invitation right now to draw others near to you. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen.
The altar's open. Lord, spoken to you tonight, then come forward and deal with God, what He's done, deal with Him in your, what He's done in your heart. I thought about, while He was preaching, I thought about the last time I had revival. And my mind automatically went back to a couple years ago. I mean, what a shame that is. You know, we ought to have a revival, ought to be a regular thing. When's the last time you mourned over your sin? When's the last time you were sorrowful over what you've been doing and how you've been living? You know, we ought to have that revival where we see our sin, we see who we are, and we see who God is, and we go before God, we repent of our sin, and say, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you with all my life. As the piano plays and as the song is sung, I surrender all. We ought to surrender Him and say, Lord, show me the sin in my life that I can respond, become more like you. Come forward, Lord spoken to you. You ought to respond. You ought to respond when God speaks. It's rude not to. Before we close in prayer, I thank Lord. He spoke to my heart tonight, you know, and I realize that, you know, we need that revival. You know, many times people think of revival, you know, they think of just crazy things. They think of people, oh, we had revival. There were people running around the church. You know, we had revival. There was people rolling on the ground or people speaking in foreign languages or you know, they. Revival is just getting right with God.
That's right.
Revival is getting is realizing you're a sinner and realizing the sin that you're doing and like the preacher was preaching, he says, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. you know, lead me to the way, you know, into everlasting, you know, that's what you ought to seek. You ought to seek to get a right heart before God, and that's when revival is going to start in your life, and then you start doing the things that this book says, you know, start following them. You know, I pray that we have revival, that we don't leave here the same as how we came. We're going to have Brother Matt prayer. We're going to have him, Pastor Matt, we're going to have you close in prayer.